The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 26, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful morning here in Sonoma County. And hello to everybody out there. You know, we hit 18 counties here on KBBF, and I'd like to just say good morning to everybody. I have three special guests in the studio with me. I have a woman by the name of Deanne LaRue, who founded the Mediterranean Health Foundation, the Mediterranean. Is that, am I pronouncing that right?
Meridian.
The Meridian Health Foundation promotes healing in both the individual and the environment through education, the delivery of preventive and supportive health services, and the arts. And joining her is Trish Allen, who is an active member of the Baha'i community in Santa Rosa, along with Deanne. They're both actually very active in the Baha'i community, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I thought it would be a real good idea to start bringing in other religious persuasion, so to speak, so maybe we can get a better understand of what it really truly means to have faith and to believe in a higher power. You know, so much going on with the chosen one, God, and all kinds of things going on in the airways today. I just thought to get a little clarification might be helpful. Also joining me in the studio is one of my favorite people, Carrie Fugit, who right now works at Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Program. She's a graduate from UC San Diego with a B.S. in philosophy and neuroscience. She spent time as a field biologist, and right now she's working with Daily Acts, which is, I really think, is very, very exciting. At one time, she was with the what group were you with?
Sonoma County Conservation.
The Sonoma County Conservation Action, and where they worked a lot on climate and a lot on things on, right. So we're going to have a really good discussion about, and I'm really curious, you know, I've heard about Daily Acts for so long, and I know absolutely nothing about them, so this is going to be a real exciting interview for me. Well, today's a very special day. A reminder, August 26th of each year is designated in the United States as Women's Equality Day. Instituted by Representative Bella Asberg, and it was first established in 1971. The date commemorates. You know, I got to tell you folks something before I continue. My adrenaline's a little bit high because, you know, starting the program was a little bit shaky. So if I sound a little excited, I'm just trying to come down. Anyway, today commemorates the passage of the 19th Amendment, the Women's Suffrage Amendment to the United States Constitution, which granted women the right to vote. Listen to this, on the same basis as men. Many women still have to fight for the right to vote when they belong to other groups that had barriers to voting of particular people of color, etc. So it's, today is a very special day. Okay, less well known is the day, this day commemorates the 1970 Women's Strike for Equality, which was held on August 26th on the 50th anniversary of the passage of women's suffrage. And it's really interesting when you think about it. Here we are in 2020. We still do not have an equal rights amendment. And here it is, 100 years since we've gotten the vote. So I can't figure that one out. I really can't. Well, this was a wonderful weekend. We went to the Progressive Festival, and as we had an interview last week, we talked about that Indivisible has taken over the festival this year, and I have to do a shout-out to them. It was so well organized and such a caring group of people. It was amazing to me. One of the things that we were very concerned about when we did the interview was security, and what ended up happening is that the citizens set up security, and it was amazing. They kept stopping by our booth to make sure that we're okay, that there was no hassles. There was some group, some people from the Trump camp came by and were screaming and yelling. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was heartbreaking to me to hear some of the things that they were shouting into the group. But they were handled, and they were handled very well. There was no escalation. And a special shout out to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I'm telling you, if there is ever a group you want to have MC for you at an event, they are the ones to do that. Amazing, amazing group of people. And I had a special announcement. You know, Ken, can you hand me the green bag over there, hon? Is that possible? Because I think I have some announcements in there. They're going to have some special lighting today for Women's Equality Day. Actually, what's going to be happening, the suffrage colors were purple, yellow, and white. And so what they're doing, what's happening is that, oops, I don't have all that information. Let me see if I have it here. Let's see. We got all this stuff here. And of course, here we go. Okay, here we go. Women's Equality Day light display. Okay, in Sonoma County, California, on Women's Equality Day, August 26th, the colors of the suffrage movement, white, purple, and yellow, will be illuminated by light displays in three Sonoma County locations as night falls. It's going to be at Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa, the lights of the 415 decorative pillars and the lights of the decorative trim around the two things on the square are going to light up. Windsor Town Green in Windsor, also at the Green Music Center in Rohnert Park. So they're going to have the lights in honor of Women's Equality Day. They're going to be white, purple, and yellow. That is really, really exciting to me. And there's some special dates that I'd like you to put on your calendar. We're going to be talking about this, Daily Acts Matters, but they're going to be having an event on September 8th. 2019. So I want you to mark that on your calendars. And when we have Carrie Fugit on, she's going to be talking all about Daily Acts and what this whole event is about. And there's something very, 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 boy, when I put three varies on it, that means it's very important. And on Tuesday, that's tomorrow, August 22nd at 5 p.m. at the Rohnert Park City Hall, they're going to have a special City Hall Council meeting where they're trying to get Rohnert Park to join the other five cities and disband products such as Roundup that has glyphosate in their pesticide. So it's very important that you come. That's tomorrow night, August 27th at 5 p.m. to show your support for getting rid of banning synthetic pesticides, take it out of the parks and out of public spaces. And you know, I don't know if folks realize this, but in Sonoma County, I was shocked. I mean, with a capital S all the way, shocked to find that one in three young people are suffering from cancer in our county. And part of the issues people believe is part of the carcinogenics that are in Roundup. So it's very important to attend this city council meeting to give your support to get rid of that stuff out of the parks and out of public spaces. That's going to be Tuesday night, August 27th at 5 p.m. You know, I'll tell you something. I say this over and over and over, but I don't think I can say it enough. The children are our future. And if we have pesticides, wars, and all this other stuff, ask yourself, what kind of future are we introducing to them? It is very important as women, as mothers, that we show up and we say, no, we do not want our children exposed to this. We've got five cities here in Sonoma County that have agreed to get rid of this stuff, Roundup, which has glyphosate in it. around public parks and in public spaces. Hopefully, it's going to be discarded around the schools. I mean, that should be the first place they hit. But the most important thing is people have to show up. You have to find out from your city council what is their position on these types of sprays. And as a mother, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, I am extremely concerned, and I want you to join me in my concern. So thank you for that little rant. I have one last announcement to make. And let's see, there's going to be a concert for a gentleman by the name of Andre Russell, who is a big supporter of the Peace and Justice Center at Sonoma County. And the benefit's going to be happening on September 12th. And I am going to have Jakina Black on from the Peace and Justice Center to talk about this. But I thought people could just listen to it on, put it on your calendar, December 12th at 8 o'clock at the Redwood Cafe, located at 8240 Old Redwood Highway in Cotati. They're going to be having a fundraiser for this gentleman who was just in an automobile accident and, excuse me, a motorcycle accident. And when Chiquina comes on, she'll be able to tell you all about him. Anyway, it's the last Monday of the month, and we're going to do the Women's Spaces Pledge. And I got to tell you something that's very interesting. I have given out 7,000. I can't believe it. I asked, I go to Staples, and I asked Staples, how many times have I ordered these cards? How many? And they told me 7,000. And I just ordered my next 250. So that means I have 7,000 that are in the community, and I have 250 more to give out. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 of us in the studio. And here it is, Women's Equality Day. And the most important thing that we have to learn as women is to stand up and be heard. That has to come from a sense of self-esteem, a sense of feeling good about yourself, a sense of knowing that you have a right to a voice. One of the things I notice, and I'm not being critical, but one of the things I notice, like, for example, on talk shows, more men call than women. Why? Because men tend to be in the habit of being able to speak out. Women are not in that habit. They're usually the quiet ones, the second ones, you know, my better half. You know, my better half is silent. But you have to speak out, and that's what equality is all about, to feel that you have a right to have a voice. So having self-esteem and building your self-esteem is very important. And the reason we do this pledge is not to tell everybody that they have to go out and say, hey, I'm better than anybody. It's the idea is to build your self-esteem and know it's okay for you to speak out. And what other people think of you is none of your business. You just have to have a voice, particularly what I said prior to this, that as mothers, we need to show up at city council meetings, at board of supervisors meetings, and say, listen, we want a better world for our children. That takes self-esteem. That takes confidence. So that's the whole idea of the pledge. And as I've told my listeners many, many times, I developed it for my grandson. He was 5 and a half years old, coming out of daycare, crying that the teacher said he was a bad boy. And when I heard that, and I thought of my own struggles with self-esteem, I said to myself, this is not going to happen to my grandson. And I made up this little saying for him. And when he graduated UC Santa Cruz, if you can believe it, he was coming down the hill and he's yelling, hey, Grandma, excuse me, they call me G-Ma. Hey, G-Ma. And he read the pledge to me. Well, I'll tell you, it really meant a lot. And the reason I use it on Women's Spaces and I use it on the card is, you know, I want people to remember me, of course, remember the show, maybe support the show by going to kbbf.org and looking up at the donation center. You can become a sustainer. But all those little things that happen because of the pledge, and that is my hope. That it's kind of a signature for me. So we're going to do it, and if you folks would join me, I would really appreciate it. First, I will say it, and then you repeat it after me. So here we go. I have, let's see, Ken's here. I'm here, too. That's 5 people in the audience. Oh, I'm so excited that we can all do this together. Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to say it, then you repeat it after me. My self-esteem,
does not depend
on anything outside of me. Oh, that sounds so good. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship
with myself
and
And
my higher power.
My higher power.
Wow, that sounds good. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Well, I got to tell you guys a little secret. Yesterday at the Progressive Fair, there was a wonderful woman that stopped by, and she really drilled me on that pledge. And one of the things she asked me, what do you mean by higher power? Well, a lot of people equate higher power with, say, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, or groups like that. But higher power, what I mean when I say higher power, I mean something greater than you, something outside of you. Like that thing that creates the rose, or that thing that created that great vegetable that you ate for breakfast in the morning or dinner. That kind of higher power, something outside of your something, something that you call on or that you just believe in. And to some people, for me, my higher power sometimes is just the beautiful breeze that reminds me that I'm alive. So higher power has a lot of meaning to it. So you have to define your own meaning. And if you choose that you have, say, for example, you believe in Jesus, say, my relationship with Jesus, with God, my relationship with God, with Muhammad, my relationship with Oh, Muhammad, whoever you take as your higher power, that can be substituted. But the main idea is something greater. You know, we live in the middle of a universe that, where are we? Nobody really knows. That kind of higher power. So I'm going to say the pledge one more time and just take it in, just absorb it. You know, I read it about 5 times before I go on the air, especially when I have conflicts, like a little bit of issues in the morning before the show starts. You know, it gives you that feeling like, I know everything's going to be okay. So I'm going to just say it one more time, and then we're going to take a musical break. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means no matter what people say about you, hey, that's their opinion, not your opinion. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. I just love that pledge. I don't know what it is. It gives me the goosebumps. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break. And, you know, as I try to pick the songs, and one of the things I'll say again, the reason I play the whole song is because I want folks to listen to the words. These people have sat down in their own passion, their own compassion, wrote these songs, and there's a meaning to them. And I try to kind of bring them together with the guests. So today's we're going to take the musical break we're going to take. I'm going to be playing the song One World, sung by Roberta Donay. And the reason I chose this song is because we really, you know, how many times have I played Pale Moon? One planet, one people, one heart. I mean, that's what One World is. We are one planet, we're one people, you know, we're all the animals, we're one, you know, we're all living on this planet, and we're one heart. We're all living, and living, our hearts have to beat. So that's the idea of One World. So let's go ahead and listen to One World, sung by Roberta Downing. And when we return, I will be talking with Deanne LaRue, who founded the, say that word again.
Meridian
Health Foundation. The Meridian Health Foundation promotes healing in both the individual and the environment through education and the delivery of preventive and supportive health services and art. And Trish Allen, who is an active member of the Baha'i Faith community in Santa Rosa, along with Deanne. And I could say the same thing about the Baha'i community. Their whole idea is to bring mental and physical health to their community. So let's go ahead and listen to One World. Woo.
There is only one planet, the circle's a sun that we all call our own. And in only one moment, we all decide.
I love that line. One world, one planet, one reality. Well, welcome back. For you just joining in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two guests in the studio with me, Deanne LaRue, who is the founder of the Meridian Health Foundation, and also Trish Allen, who's an active member of the Baha'i Faith in Santa Rosa, and along with Denise, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Well, you know, this is really a beautiful day. Here it is, Women's Equality Day, and we're going to talk about this wonderful religion, the Baha'i Faith. And before we start, I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you, if that's okay.
Sure.
Deanne LaRue founded the Meridian Health Foundation, dedicating to developing sustainable programs for children and youth using education, the delivery of supportive health services, and the arts. Collaborative organizations have included the United Nations Environment Program, the United Nations Department of Public Information, Full Circle Learning, the BOM Foundation, which is serve the blind, Tunza North America, and the City of San Francisco. Meridian's current goals focus on developing neighborhood community programs for youth and junior youth in California, as well as other work associated with the Baha'i Faith. Her current work focuses on developing neighborhood community programs for junior youth in California, as well as other work associated with the Baha'i Faith. Anything else you'd like to add, Deanne?
I think you said it all there.
My goodness, so much involvement with the United Nations. What an honor to have you here, you know, with that kind of background.
Well, it kind of meets the philosophy of all the worlds, all the separate countries coming together under one universal umbrella. So that was like, seemed like an easy place to get a start.
Oh, it's a wonderful vision and a wonderful dream for sure. And Trish Allen, who's an active member of the Baha'i community in Santa Rosa, she serves on the local spiritual assembly for Santa Rosa and supports ongoing weekly devotions in their cluster, along with hosting their activities in her home, which is a big deal, opening your home and allowing people to come in and be educated about the religion. She has animated a youth spiritual empowerment program at Monte Vista. Where is Monte Vista?
It's over near Coddingtown.
So it is in Santa Rosa?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yes,
good.
It's
Monte Vista. You'll have to let me know a little bit about that.
Yeah.
In the past 10 years, with a team of other Baha'ians living in the area, she is the survivor of the fires in 2017, and boy, do we all remember that here. And in the past 2 years, she's moved several times, been able to finally replace some living place right now. But the best news is she has been given the blessing of two beautiful grandchildren during that time. What, a boy or a girl?
One of each.
How yeah. old right now?
Jackson is, they're 13 months apart, so Jackson is now 17 months, and Samantha is 4 months.
Oh, my goodness, Jackson and Samantha. I love it. I love those names. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome. And, you know, time goes by very fast in these studios. So is there anything else that you'd like to add to what we've already said about you? Okay. Let's start with you, Deanne, first. Tell us, how did you first get involved with the Baha'is? What was in the past? What were you doing in the past? What was your religious persuasion then?
My father was Catholic, and he was the quote-unquote step-in minister aboard his ship in the Navy, and my mother was Protestant. And when they got married and started having children, they wanted to give something more to their kids than perhaps what they had had in the past. So when I was about 13, my mother started investigating a lot of different religions, and she had a really tough time deciding between which religion to choose. But she knew she wanted something more for her children, so the big motivation was to give her children something extra. When she found the Baha'i Faith and saw that it embraced all of the religions, she figured that was the one for her.
Oh, that's amazing. And how about you, Trish? How did you get involved? What was your inclination before and now?
I was raised, my family was Catholic. However, my family was not particularly religious, and so we never talked about spiritual things. We went to church, and that was kind of it. And it wasn't until I was in college that I was seeking. I was kind of going down the wrong path, and I was truly seeking, and I met a young man who was a Baha'i, and he taught me the faith, and it just sounded so hopeful and so positive. And I kind of started going to meetings with him and met lots of other Baha'is. I became a Baha'i in 1972, and in that era, there were lots and lots of young people who were seeking, and so there was a big influx of young people our age. And my I met my husband, who also was a Baha'i at the time when we were married as Baha'is in 1973.
Well, it's really interesting that you mentioned 1972, because in 1972, actually, I was at Los Angeles City College, and one of my first articles that I wrote as a journalism major was about the Baha'is, because I was confused. I'll have to show it to you. It's in my string book. Well, you know, with all the talk lately, you know, with the president talking about he's the chosen one, you know, and all of a sudden the king of the Jews, I mean, I'm just overwhelmed with all this. And that's why I thought it would be a good idea to bring different religions in and talk about them and see what their philosophy is. I don't know if you believe in chosen ones or what your attitude is there, but I'd like to know what is different. What did you find? Trish, you've been the longest person with the Baha'i faith. What have you found different from that faith than, say, all the other faiths that are around that made you actually choose this one?
Well, I think the thing that is really presented itself over the years for me is that the Baha'i faith believes in the oneness of all religions, and it doesn't believe that one is higher than the other, better than the other, the only one. It believes that all the religions are bringing the teachings of God, and that they come over time, that they come on a timeline, and that each religion is bringing spiritual growth and teachings to humanity. And with each dispensation, we call it, each new religion, it grows in its teachings, and it becomes more current to the current times we're in. So the Baha'i faith, we believe, is the newest world religion. It's an independent world religion. And the teachings are so current. They deal with, you know, the equality of women and men and the need for economic equality. And they just deal with all the issues that are current today. And so it's...
Let me ask you something, because yes, as you're talking about equality for all, what about choice? I mean, there's the big debate. The big debate is choice. I mean, how do the Baha'is feel about choice?
Choice in relation to...
In relation, say, to a woman's body.
Ah. Well, the Baha'i faith teaching is that that is a decision that a woman makes with her doctor. It's not something, of course, we believe in, you know, that the soul comes at the time of conception. And so there's no, yeah, that's not something that we really dwell on, because we do not get involved in politics. We are loyal to the government, and, you know, we vote, but we don't take sides.
So I see what you're saying is that you have a spiritual belief as far as the soul goes,
right,
but at the same time, your belief does not extend to the point of saying to that woman that you are going to do it this way, or you're going to do it this way, or you're going to do it my way, or you're going to go to HELL or something.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting, you know, and I think it's a very, very important point to bring out, you know, but the freedom. You know, one of the things that's very interesting, Leah, Mr. Witzel, I can't remember his first name, he did a book called, he put God on trial. You know, it was during the concentration camps, that's how they filled their time. And when it came to the end of the trial, they found God not guilty. And the reason they found God not guilty is because it's written in the Bible that we have freedom of choice. So all the choices we make, so if you're going to have a war, that's a choice. If you're going to hurt another individual because of their religion or because of the way they believe, that is actually a choice. Well, what are some of the things that you... Well, and thank you for sharing that, you know, because I believe it's very important when it comes to these religious different groups, we have to have honest dialogue so people can understand the differences, because we all need something. We all need something to put our arms around, to wrap around, to be able to help us survive on this planet, especially with stuff that's going on today.
And it could be that without partisan politics, we are still very, very active in supporting human rights. So it's a little bit of a different way of serving the community without participating in partisan politics, but I wouldn't say that we're not involved. I would say that we're extremely involved in bettering, advancing humanity.
Well, for your someone like yourself, you know, especially being involved with the United Nations, you know, and seeing all the issues that are going around the globe, I mean, how do you integrate? It must be a real nice way to integrate your belief system with the Baha'is, with the work that you're doing. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. And you talked about choice, which is such a lovely thing to think about, because we have a lot of choices that we can make in our life. We choose one thing and it's going to take us down one chapter. We choose another, it'll be another direction. So we like to advise a lot of young people that we're lucky enough to work with, that we mentor and work with, about how to find yourself, know yourself, take those qualities that are God-given or gifts to you and enhance them so that you can put that to work in the world in whatever way you see fit. So I would say that that would be one of the ways that we practice our faith, is working through service.
Working through service. And not judgment, you know. I mean, there's a lot of judgment. It's really interesting. When we were at the Progressive Festival, I met this. There was a few protesters that were part of the Trump group. And I walked up to this woman. And I think, you know, I'm a loving spirit. You know, maybe if I say hello, if I greet her or, you know, so I walked up and I said, hi, my name is Elaine. And what came back at me when I looked at her was, number one, the fear in her eyes and the rigidity of her body. And I felt, my God, it's like her soul. I mean, that was what came to me, like her spirit or her soul or somewhere else. And all this anger and frustration is taken out. And I must be the only person that she can actually take it out on, because I'm there. So it was very, very interesting. And you talked about soul. You know, you mentioned that as one of your questions. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, that's such a big issue, soul. I mean, I'm 6 months from 80 myself, you know, and so I'm looking at the next level. I'm looking at saying, you know, I'm looking at a passage, and I'm thinking to myself, soul, what does that mean? What does that mean to the Baha'is?
Well, there's a lot of ways that we can become in touch with our soul. And I mentioned before about knowing ourselves. So through prayer, through meditation, through acts of service, and making connections with people, we can learn to grow. And we discussed a little bit about human suffering, we actually can grow our soul. And we were, you know, talking about some specific examples of this. It involves drawing upon the endless mine of virtues, detachment, discernment, gratitude, these kinds of things. If we're actively conscious, aware of these kinds of virtues that we can bring out within ourselves through prayer and meditation and action, we can start to live our goal of advancing our soul in this plane of existence, for lack of better words.
Well, I think it's important you bring up meditation, because what meditation does for me personally, it just takes me out of myself so I can go somewhere else. Then when I come back, I'm a lot more relaxed, like I can do more. It's the same thing at the beginning of the show. I was a little bit stressed because we had some challenges. But when we took the break, you know, I closed my eyes, I put my hand on Ken, and I meditated. And all of a sudden, you just calm down. It just brings you into another place. Mm-hmm. It brings you into a more secure place with yourself. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
I would say yes. And I'd like to elaborate a little bit on, you know, the teachings in the Baha'i Faith are very specific about the soul, that, you know, we have material and spiritual beings. We're a dual people. So there's the material, which is walking around the planet and having to eat and, you know, take care of our physical needs. But really the most important thing is our spiritual development, and that we on this plane, our work is to develop our spiritual self.
And which is kind of the higher
self that you referred to in the pledge, is your higher self. And it's that soul that we believe is eternal. And so as we leave this world and we go into the next world, whatever that is, that the soul will continue to grow. So whatever work we do here, we get to take with us. But hence the work we don't do here, we will also take with us.
You know, there's that beautiful analogy, Tricia, about the baby that's in the womb of the mother. We talked about grandchildren, and we can all relate to that as women, perhaps, that as the baby in the womb develops eyesight, ear sight, ear listening, the senses, it's developing all these virtues that it won't necessarily need in the womb. But when the baby is born into this world, if the child has not developed these senses, it will, in essence, be handicapped somewhat. And we like to equate that to the same thing, that we're in this plane of existence to really develop those virtues. So when we maybe go to whatever is after this, that we have developed those things, because we do believe that in the next plane of existence, you know, that we will only take these qualities with us.
I want to make it simple for our listeners. Mm-hmm. What you mean by virtues is compassion,
yes,
empathy, kindness.
You got it.
You know, and these are the things that bring us to a higher place. Right. And you know, it's really interesting. This, back to this woman, when she said she started reciting a poem to me, and all of a sudden I realized there was not going to be, very sarcastically, there was not going to be any communication. And so when I walked away from her, I just rather than me get upset, I just sent her and said, you know, I hope your world changes. So it's a very interesting way to think of this. And I really thank you both for coming here. We're coming to the end of our segment. I know it goes by very quickly. Radio time is 1 second. So give us a little background in, first of all, your website, how they can get a hold of you when you have your meeting. When you meet, or say, I don't know if you meet on Saturdays or Sundays or Mondays, you know, whatever days that you meet, your time, and anything else that you'd like to add that maybe that we have not covered.
Well, if you can find out anything you'd like to know on www.bahai.org, BAHAI.org, and all the communities really throughout the state of California and really throughout the world, you can connect to children's classes, junior youth groups, devotionals, and study circles. Those are the core activities that the Baha'i offers in all areas. So look us up on the phone book, you know, look us up online, and you'll be able to find us.
How about you, Trish? Any last thoughts that you'd like to share?
No, I agree. I just think that, you know, the work we're doing, we're really at this point reaching out to the larger community who want to share in the service work we're doing, primarily with the children and the youth in our larger community, helping them to find a higher purpose and to kind of connect with that higher goal.
Speaking of children, before we end, is there anything particular that you're doing around your community, doing around what's happening at the border with children, any kind of outreach there?
Well, specifically, the majority of the youth and the children we work with at Monte Vista do come from immigrant families. And so, you know, we have become friendly over the last 10 years with their family. So we just basically say prayers with them. We consult with them. There's not a whole lot we can really do for them, but we support them, we love them, and we're there for their children.
I beg to disagree with you. The most important thing you can do is to support them. That's wonderful,
right,
Trish.
Right,
that word
right.
is so important
right.
to support, because we are one
right.
family,
right.
one planet,
right.
one heart.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
have, and yes. the children, they're our future.
Yes, yes.
So give us our website one more time.
It's www.bahai.org.
Well, I want to thank you, Trish, and I want to thank you, Deanne.
Thank you for having us.
Oh,
thank
no,
you.
And I realize
us.
It goes by very quickly.
Yes.
And really, it's very inspiring yeah. to hear, especially the word support.
Yeah.
Support. And the idea of soul, growing a soul, mm-hmm. growing in compassion, growing in understanding. Yeah. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, it was wonderful. Wow, there's so much going on in the world. You know, a special thank you to these two wonderful women for coming in, Deanne LaRue and Trish Allen from Baha'i here in Sonoma County. I mean, what a wonderful philosophy. You know, lots to think about. But, you know, that's what Women's Spaces is all about. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And the song that I'm going to play is sung by Lydia Violet, and it's called Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around. And we're going to be talking with Carrie Frugate, who works with Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Program. And that's why I chose this song, because nobody's going to turn us around. Nobody's going to tell us to go back. We need to move forward. So when we come back, we'll have another wonderful interview, and let's go on with that show, that music. Thanks.
keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna lay out no hatred. Turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna lay out no hatred. Turn me around, I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom land.
Better believe nobody's going to let, I'm not going to let anybody get me to turn around. We got to keep moving forward. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my next guest, Carrie Fugett. Carrie, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces once again.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for having me.
Oh, no. I mean, you're one of these people, I would say, when they were talking about soul building, they're one of these people that I believe you really, if there's such a thing, that's what you're doing. And helping people learn compassion, understanding, forgiveness, all those wonderful things. So let me tell the group a little bit about you, our listening audience, before we start. Carrie Fugett works at Daily Acts, where she manages the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities and the Climate Campaign Programs. She is a graduate from UC San Diego with a BS in Physiology and Neuroscience. She spent time as a field biologist researching the impacts of development on wildlife in Equatorial Guinea and Ecuador. Wow, I didn't know. So you traveled all over the world here. She served as executive director. This is when I first met her at Sonoma County Conservation Action and Environmental Policy and Advocacy Organization, and is passionate about empowering and connecting leaders to build the tools and practices needed to create a healthy, just, and resilient communities and people. Well, before we start, I just want to ask you one question, and that is... when you talk about, you're talking about here that you are doing Institute for Just and Resilient Communities. What is that?
Yeah, so the Leadership Institute for Just and Resilient Communities had transitioned to Daily Acts about a year and a half ago. It used to be the Leadership Institute for Ecology and the Economy. It's going on to 19 years now and entering its 18th class this fall. It's a 10-month leadership development program for folks from business, government, and nonprofit who are all working to support a more just and resilient future. And what that means is a more equitable community with access for opportunity for all, and resilient as in we can bounce back when adversity hits us both personally and as a community.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, let's talk a little bit about Daily Acts. Tell me exactly what it is. I've heard about it. You know, it's really interesting because Unity has a thing called Daily Word, which is kind of a spiritual thing. When I first heard Daily Acts, I wonder if they have, if this is what they do. But explain exactly what Daily Acts is.
Yeah, well, Daily Acts is an environmental sustainability education nonprofit, and I really love being paired with the speakers this morning because they're definitely is a much more holistic perspective to how Daily Acts works in the world. So our mission is to inspire transformative action that creates connected, equitable, and climate resilient communities. And it really, that word connected is so critical to us. It was founded 18 years ago by Trathan Heckman, our current ED, on the understanding that we've been losing the connection to both self, community, and nature, and that we need to reconnect to the power of our daily actions. And that's where the word comes from, is our daily actions have a ripple effect. And if we can truly harness and unleash the power of community through our daily actions, then we can really solve the challenges ahead of us. So we're a solutions-oriented leadership from the inside out organization. We do a lot of work restoring both connection to self and community as through landscapes and the garden. So we do it by building habitat for our ecosystems and building community while doing that.
You know, you said something very interesting, especially since we had the Baha'is here. I mean, it's just kind of, what do you mean? Say that again, connecting to self.
Community and nature.
Self, community. So the goal is to help people connect with their selves, their community, and their natural world.
Correct.
Well, that to me sounds very spiritual. I mean, that is a beautiful, beautiful way of putting it. Because if we're not connected with ourselves, you know, if we're not connected with nature, if we're not connected with everything, I mean, it really defeats us.
It's true. And I really appreciated your comment about meditation this morning, and that is one of the simple tools that we use to reconnect both to ourselves and community. We ground and breathe together before diving into anything from a staff meeting to a massive coalition meeting. We were brought in as the fires were happening to help facilitate the watershed collaborative with 30 plus organizations and agencies from around the state. Wow. Coming together to figure out how to address the toxics in our water and watershed overall with the fires. And we started with a breathing exercise, and we've got state government officials, and we've got fires burning, and we recognize the importance of just taking 1 minute to breathe together. And to conspire literally means to breathe together. And the importance, especially as urgency is pressing on our door, as Gandhi says, I have so much to do today, I have to meditate twice as long. We have to really make sure we are grounding in ourselves and our larger purpose before moving into action, in order to move into action collaboratively and powerfully.
Well, it's real interesting because you brought back an amazing memory to me about Daily Acts that I had no idea that this is what was happening. We were all at the, it was probably about 5 years ago, maybe, we were trying to get the district elections on the ballot. And before everybody went, 145 people spoke that night. And before we all went in, there was a group that said, let's form a circle. And we all meditated and did an affirmation. And I never forgot that, because everybody that spoke was so articulate and so calm. It was just amazing. And I didn't realize that that's who it was. It was the folks from Daily Acts that were doing that. Well, you know, you worked with the conservation group. Now, how is that different from Daily Act? Because you're both into environmental issues. So, but how? I mean, I know you're adding. It sounds like you're adding the spiritual component, the human component of learning how to relax, learning how to be an activist in the community. But how are you different from the two groups?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. And Sonoma County Conservation Action is such a critical leader in our community in the political advocacy space. They've been around 27 years now and play such a pivotal role. They're so focused, and you mentioned it this at the beginning, on the pesticides and the toxics and eliminating synthetic pesticides from our public places and the meeting tomorrow night. And that toxic-free future is so critical for the larger whole, and that's their huge focus right now. And it is the larger land use space of Sonoma County and helping build civic advocacy. And Daily Acts partners really often with them. We actually did an event just a couple weeks ago with them around pesticides with our environmental health program manager. And it's a partnering. We need both civic activism and policy change. And we also need to make sure that we're resilient personally for the long road ahead as activists. So that inner climate change space, as well as outer climate change, is really, really important. So we've done training with the Center for Mind-Body Medicine medicine, which you've probably heard about. About 240 leaders in the county have gone through that now. And those practices help us deal with climate grief and climate depression so that we don't get paralyzed by the challenges ahead. Instead, we move into action through it.
What was the name of that group?
The Center for Mind-Body Medicine.
Center for Mind-Body Medicine. I got to make a note of that. Well, how is, you know, right now, I mean, we live in Sonoma County, and, you know, we live in Northern California. Uh-oh, we're getting the signal. There's 3 minutes. We live in Northern California. Just a quick question. What are some of the things that we need to be aware of? And also, let's talk real quickly about the Daily Acts Matter, Rising Up for Climate Action. You're going to be having an event on September 8th. So go ahead, if you can answer that question, and then let's talk a little bit about that event.
Yeah, absolutely. So that question around what's going on locally. So locally, we are partnering with a lot of folks around climate action. And so what that looks like in our educational programs is weaving more understanding around soil health and carbon sequestration and tools to address carbon change. We need to make our emissions get to zero as fast as possible. We also need to sequester and literally draw carbon out of the atmosphere. And we can do that a lot through soil and our composting. We also need to build public power and political sales to build more leadership around climate. And then our Climate Acts, Daily Acts Matter Benefit for Climate Action is going to be an awesome all-day festival from 1 to 7 at the Sonoma Mountain Village on Sunday, September 8th. And we have five fantastic bands, Rupa and the April Fishes, headlining the Kofis Brothers, Highway Poets, Dustin Greenbones Band, and the Real Sarahs, as well as speakers from the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, Sunrise Movement. We've got a trash-in show, Supervisor Linda Hopkins speaking. We've got some eco art going on, interactive education, a climate action hub, and a healing hub, because we realize we need to both be healing ourselves and moving into climate action. So it's going to be a fantastic day. Students or kids under 12 are free, and $30 for everybody else, and all benefits go to Daily Acts.
So that's going to be September 8th at the Somo Village Event Center in Rohnert Park. And it's a benefit for Daily Acts Climate Action Program.
Correct. And we're helping support the Climate Emergency Resolution Movement in Sonoma County and helped get that passed in Petaluma. So we now have declared a climate emergency resolution in Petaluma and are forming a climate commission, which is super exciting and helping raise the cultural narrative of how important climate change is for all of our community and future.
Well, that's our show. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because the woman in your life is you, and who is sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you. She's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life,
the previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, August 26, 2019.